Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You are here. You are here. You are here. The word says, O God, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And Lord, there is way more than two, more than three, not only here, but in homes and in places all around this world. All of us gathered, assembled, in one accord, in one place in you. And we know that you're here. And because you're here, there is liberty. So this day, by the authority of your everlasting word, I declare deliverance, liberty, freedom, peace upon every hearer, upon every participant, upon everyone here gathered this very moment. Strongholds be broken in the name of Jesus. Doors be open. Gates be open in the name of Jesus. Doors and doors and doors and opportunities birth out of the heart of God. Be open to God's people right now. Thank you for hearing ears and eyes that are open to behold you. And because that is so, life's been transformed, minds been renewed, and people moving into greater dimensions of glory in Christ Jesus, our sovereign Lord. We declare it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you again tonight. I rejoice in the goodness of the Lord, God who's loved us with an everlasting love and has so graced us with his word. This is the 11th day of our gathering every day. And we're chewing at this month, one bite at a time, until this month will be all done. And we give God praise that not only is that going to happen, but we are assured of God that the rest of the year is blessed. Amen? Praise God. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, let us get to the word. The most important thing in your life, I'm sure you know already. Yes, you say it's God. That's good. And that's true. God must be the most important in your life. But God holds this, what we're going to talk about today, more important. So if God holds it as more important, it's got to be more important for us too. And it is his word. You cannot be in partnership with God without his word. In fact, the word of God says he holds his word above all his names. His name may be Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Sitkinu, Jehovah Mekadesh. He may be Jehovah Rophe, Ruhi, whatever you might want to call him, El Shaddai, Ebenezer. Just keep on. And he says, my word I hold more dearly than all those names. Why? Because if God's word is not good, his name is no good. You are just as good as your word. A man's word that is no good cannot be trusted. And God wants to be trusted. Because he's trustworthy. Hallelujah. Now, if we are going to be the same, then we've got to have that same. We have to have the Word of God. It has to be the integral part of our lives. It has to be what structures us. Without you being structured by the Word of God, you're just a blob. You're jello. You can be turned every which way. God's Word gives you a nice structure, gives us stability, it gives us direction, it gives us a sense of purpose. A word from God, just one, can turn your life around forever. Praise God. And we need that word. But a word of God given is like food on the table. Until you eat it and digest it, it does you no good. It will not provide you a little bit of nutrient. It will not strengthen you. It will not stop your hunger. If you don't believe me, sit in front of your television and watch the food channel. And all the foods and delicacies they have on there. And just eat that. And we'll come back 2 months from now, we'll find you dead. Because nothing, no matter how good the food is on that food channel on television, it's not going to feed you. You can be put in a grocery store with all kinds of food, but the food is not going to get into your system by osmosis. You've got to do something. You've got to eat it. And the thing about the Word of God is this, God says, all I need for you to do is taste. Because it's like a good, nice dessert. You take one little bit, you start, and if we don't grab your hand and pull you away, you might just finish the whole bucket of ice cream. Wow, this vanilla ice cream tastes so good. Well, that's the Word of God. It will do you no good until you taste it. But once you taste it, we'll see the bottom of that bucket. Hallelujah. So the Word of God tells us about the importance of the Word of God. God says to Joshua, I want you to meditate. In Joshua 1 and verse 8, he says this very clearly to a new leader who he's going to partner with. His partner Moses is gone. Now he needs a new partner to work with. And he says, this book of the law, this book of the word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, it must not leave your mouth. In essence, it must consistently stay in your mouth. In other words, I want you to keep on saying it again and again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. It says, but thou shalt meditate, chew on it. Meditate on this word day and night. Now, when it says day and night, it's not just talking about the times of the day. It's talking about the light of the day. When things are very clear to you and obvious, you can see it just like you see things during the day, meditate on the Word of God. When things are dark and it seems there's no light around, meditate on the Word of God. In other words, in good times and in bad times, meditate on the Word of God. Never lose sight of this Word. No matter what your situation is, hold on to the word of God. He says, when you meditate on it day and night, he says, then you'll be able to observe. To observe. You see, that word observe has two meanings. When you observe something, you are paying attention to something in terms of watching it. But to observe also means that you keep in it. I observe the Sabbath, or I observe Christmas, or I observe whatever. Yeah? So it means that you're keeping it. You not only watching it, you're doing it. That thou mayest observe to do. When you observe, you do. According to all that is written therein. According to all that is written. In other words, you're not coming up with your own interpretation on this stuff and saying, well, I like this part. But it's like my grandson, youngest one, he doesn't like peas. So he'll eat the meat, he'll eat the potatoes, he'll eat the other stuff. But if he sees the pea, I've tried to trick that kid. Hide it. No. He finds it. Brad Wes is like that too. He doesn't like, I've forgotten what it is. You try, what is it? Zucchini. Yeah, that's it, zucchini. You hide zucchini and make it into whatever. Brad Wes will find out. He has a taste for zucchinis. No, well, that's not the word of God. You can't do that with the word of God. I like this part, but this part, we don't like this. This one is past. We don't like that one. I like this one, but not that. Well, that's not the word of God. When it comes to the word of God, the word of God takes charge and control and says, this is it. This is the package. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. In fact, if you try to add or subtract from it, the word of God says you get a curse. And a curse is the absence of the blessing. So when you don't follow through with the word of God, instead of walking in the blessing, you work under a curse. Now, those who walk with God do not walk under a curse. They walk under the blessing of God. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? So if we're going to be partners with God, meaning that we're walking with God, then it must be that we have come into agreement with Him concerning His word. Hallelujah. Let me put it this way. You have a car, and the car runs with premium gasoline, high premium, not the cheaper ones. But you decide, I don't like premium gas. What are you going to drive it with? I like diesel. I like diesel. You can pour diesel inside your car because that's the one you like. Well, when your engine gets all messed up, there's no one else to blame but you because you've decided what you think you want for your car. So it is with people who do not embrace the word of God, pull on the word of God to direct and guide their lives, but instead go to some history book, to some newscaster, some teacher or whatever, and decide that whatever this guy that was just born maybe 20, 30 years ago is going to tell you what the truth is based on his own whatever research that's not based on any other person's research, what the truth is. And how many believers have damaged their lives? Because, you know what? I think somebody fixed the Bible. They changed this and they changed that. So I no longer believe this and I no longer believe that. Excuse me? What is your guarantee that you know for a fact that what you're just told is the truth? When you've not followed through with the Word of God. Do you think that the God of salvation who died for your salvation and your redemption will allow Satan to pollute his word to such an extent that it will rob you of your salvation? The foolishness of man in their own wisdom. Think we know so much. The people are always looking for new word. No, have you done the word that you know? Have you followed through with that one yet? How are you going to walk with God when you are always living in a world of confusion? It is the truth of God that you know because you continue with that word that brings you to the place of divine freedom. You must not allow anybody to pollute the word of God because they came with some new truth. He says, meditate on that word. For then, when you meditate on that word, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Ooh. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous? Yeah. On the basis of what? The word of God. You know what that means to me? If the word of God says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. It means then that whatever prophetic word you're receiving must be a word that aligns with the word of God. If it does not align with the word of God, it is not the word of God, and therefore you will not prosper. I don't care what the man says. He can have a big hat on his head, have a long beard and a stick, wear a loincloth like John the Baptist and say, thus saith the Lord. No, if it doesn't line up with the word of God that I know already, it is not the word of God, brother. Get out of my face. Don't come here telling me, God, thus saith the Lord. Some guy comes to you and says, I had a vision from the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That you are supposed to marry that person. Oh, that's good. So we find out the person that you're telling me I'm supposed to be married to is already married and has children. I say, the Lord God Almighty rebuke thou. You know, what nonsense. And those kind of foolishness take place in our world today. In the church, there's all kinds of craziness going on. People prophesying all kinds of crazy stuff that is not founded on the word of God, has no connection with the word of God, but they say, thus said the Lord. And you're supposed to believe that? And you think that's going to cause you to prosper? No. The only word that's going to cause you to prosper is the word of God that you're meditating on. Whether it is the word that you read from the book, or the word that was declared by the preaching of the word that I'm doing right now, or the word of the Lord that comes to you because God spoke a prophetic declaration, a foretelling, Not just a foretelling, but a foretelling of something to be. Hallelujah. We meditate. It says, and then thou shalt have good success. You're going to have good success. What do I want in my life? I want prosperity, and I want good success. And if the Word of God says something about good success, then there must be something called bad success. It's success still, but it's bad. Why is it bad? Because there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is destruction. So there's some kind of success you can be walking in that ends up in disaster. See, everything is going well, it must be the Lord. No, not every time everything is going well. But you can attach it to God. I've seen churches born out of just man's own ego. And it may go well because the person is charismatic. It may go well because they are good administrators. It may go well because they're a good business-minded person and whatever else. But the end of that thing is disaster. Just plain outright disaster. There's no continuity. But God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. Hallelujah. The Word of God says in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. Or put it this way, the counsel are the words. Yeah? It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel or the words of the ungodly. Now, when we talk about the ungodly, let's not just think about people out there that are just outright heathen. An ungodly person, somebody sometimes who already believes in God, but no longer believes in God based on whatever new truth or lack of truth they have. He's become an ungodly person. Used to be godly, now he's ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Or cursed is a man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to live a cursed life, listen to people that are talking their street talk that has nothing to do with the goodness of God and believe their lies. And this can happen to anybody, you know. I was a pastor already. Pastor in a church, as an assistant pastor at a church that was right on Church here and Mackenzie. That time it was called Albright Memorial. And I had a young man who just lost his wife to an accident, and he was staying with us in our house. We took him in, not because he couldn't afford to stay in his house, he could, but we were just there to shelter him and cover him because this was a traumatic experience for him, as it would be for anyone. And I remember he was driving and I'm sitting in the passenger seat and he was a member of church that I was pastoring. So this, I'm his pastor. And this is where this gets very interesting. I'm his pastor and we're just talking about, you know, how things were going financially and you know, I was telling him how tough things were. But we'll make it. So he asked me a question. He said, do you tithe? I said, sure I do. And he said, that's your problem right there. He said, that's your problem. You're tithing. I thought when he was going to ask me, do you tithe? It was because he wanted to find out whether that was my problem, really, in terms of the fact that I wasn't tithing. That's why I was having this financial problem. Pastor, you're supposed to be tithing, and you're not tithing. That's why you got this problem. I thought that's what he was going to tell me. But no, he says, no, that's your problem. I said, what do you mean? He said, keep the money, that money that you are giving to the church. Just use it, and your problem will be solved. I didn't tell him because I was his pastor. I think I'm going to do that. I just kept it and meditated on it in my heart. Foolishness. I only tried it for 1 week and found out the repercussions of my actions. Everything in the house had fallen apart. Washing machine, dead. Dryer is falling apart. The fridge, everything is going crazy. I say, Lord, I repent. I repent. How on earth did I do this? God, I repent. Repentance is a good thing. It's part of the word of God. You repent. You ask for forgiveness, God forgives you. There are some people who are teaching, you're a believer, you don't have to repent. No, repent, oh, repent. Let me speak Nigerian to you. Repent, oh. The foolishness that people have embedded inside them because they've not continued in truth has caused so many to be bankrupt spiritually. Paul would say they've become shipwrecked. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or stands like sinners stand, resisting the purposes of God, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. The progression of walking, then you stop. And that's where many people find themselves many times. It's not that they're stuck in life, it's just that they've stopped. They can move in another direction, but they stopped. Standing. Now they are sitting in the seat of the scornful. Sitting in the seat of the scornful, sitting with those who are scorning the purposes of God. That is devilish. That is a progression downwards in life. Why? They're simply not doing something. Verse 2 tells us what? It says, the blessed man's delight is in the law of the Lord. Or in his delight is in the word of God. And in his law, or word, doth he meditate day and night. Just like God said to Joshua, day and night, they're meditating on the word of God. This is part of living, breathing in and breathing out the word of God, the importance of the word of God. In the word of God, you get direction for life. There's more in the word of God that deals with your financial situation than anything else. Do you know the word of God? This Bible, even our Lord Jesus Christ talked more about money than he talked about heaven. So don't come kicking at me when I start talking about your finances and say, oh, all he talks about is money. Go talk to Jesus. He talked, you see, because if you don't have your finances lined up according to the word of God, the devil has access to any aspect of your life at ease. He meditates on it day and night. The word of God tells you what to do concerning your health. You know, today we talk about the pandemic and we talk about, you know, social distancing and we talk about, you know, being quarantined and stuff like that. Do you know that the word of God talks about those things? It's all in the Bible. Bible tells you what exactly to do. How many days you should be quarantined for. So I don't have any problems with being quarantined when the word of God says that. You can go to the Bible and find answers to any question that has to do with you as an individual. You know, the Bible will not tell you how to go to Mars because that's not its intention. You're not going to live in Mars today or tomorrow, maybe someday. But what's important now is how you live here on earth. So if you want to live here on earth, it tells you exactly what you need to do with the space suit, or earth suit that God has given to you. Hallelujah. But you're not going to know the details of it until you meditate on the word of God. We're not going to know how to partner with God if we don't start thinking like God. And the way God thinks is already given to us in his word. God, what do you think about this? Go to the word. You find out what God thinks about it. And so if I'm going to partner with God, I'm going to have to learn to find out what God says. He says, that man who's meditating on the word of God, this is what's going to happen to him. He shall be like a tree planted. Someone say a tree planted. Yeah. A tree planted. When a tree is planted, it means it is rooted. It's grounded. It's established. Planted by the rivers of water. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So from looking at that, I know that every tree has a season, and we know that to be true. A mango tree doesn't have any business complaining about it not producing fruit when it is the season for apples or the season for pear or avocado. Everything has its season. But for you to fulfill your season, you've got to be grounded and receive nourishment, nutrients, so you can produce your fruit at your particular season. What does that mean to me and to you? It means that I need to celebrate each person in their season of fruitfulness, recognizing that if they are being fruitful in this their season, in my season, I too will be fruitful because I too am grounded in the groundedness that they have in God, that the same God who is blessing them, that same God is going to bless me. And when it's my turn, I will too will be celebrated. Well, to some extent. Pastor, what do you mean by that? There are some people who are not going to celebrate you. They want you to celebrate them, but when you're succeeding, they don't want to celebrate you. It's just people who are not meditating on the word of God, who do not have the heart of God, who do not have love. But if you have love in you, you celebrate. Amen? You celebrate. Thank God for them. Praise the Lord. You know, you just thank God. I thank you, Lord, that they have something new right now. But I thank you. My turn is coming, and when my comes, mine will be new, and theirs is going to be old. Don't do that. We need to just embrace and rejoice with each other. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't live in a world of competition and fear, doubt and confusion. Because if you have the word of God, it guides your step. And the word of God says, his leaf also shall not wither. Not only is he going to be fruitful, when there's no fruit, his leaves are going to be there. Praise the Lord. And that means that when you have your leaf, you are generating shade. So there's seasons. If I'm not doing this, I'm doing something else until I go through the full circle and produce again. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth. That is the person who meditates on the word of God. Don't lose sight of that. The person who is meditating on the word of God and therefore has become one with the word of God. Whatever it is that he's doing gets to prosper. Why? Because it's prospering based on the word. What word? The word that he's prophesying. Question I need to ask every one of us is this. Are you prophesying? Think about that. And if you're prophesying, what are you prophesying? Are you prophesying, I can do all things through Christ? Or are you prophesying, oh, things are so hard? Oh, how can you be so stupid? What are you prophesying? How can you be so dumb? Is that what you're prophesying? You made a mistake and you're thinking, how could you be so dumb? That's what you're prophesying. Or you can prophesy something else. A righteous man may fall 7 times, but he's going to get up again. I'm a righteous man. I'm going to get up again. What are you saying about yourself? Because whatever it is that you're saying about yourself is what you are prophesying. And if you are prophesying anything outside of what God's word says, it is because that's what you're full of. A man will speak out of the abundance of his heart. And if you're not abiding in the word of God, if you're not pursuing the word of God, if you're not embracing the word of God, then you're going to prophesy what you filled yourself with. Oh, things are bad. The economy is falling apart. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Just give yourself a good shake. Shake that nonsense off. And fill yourself with the truth of God's word. I'm such a sinner. I know I deserve hell. Oh, that's what you're saying. What does the word of God say about you? Yes, Father, I thank you. I know that the wages of sin is death, but I thank you that there is a gift. You're the gift. You're the God who cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. You are generating a new creation in me. Your word says that I was birthed with an incorruptible word. Let that incorruptible word now
activate itself fully in my life and remove from me every form of corruption. Go back to the Word of God. For God wants this to be true. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, what part of all the days of my life is missing from your life? That's a question I need to ask myself. Did God know I was going to blow it? Absolutely. Did he still love me and died for me? Absolutely. So how can I stay true to what God said so I can tap and benefit from it? Remember the grocery store, and remember the food channel, and remember the big table with lots of food. If you don't eat that food, you're going to die. You got to repent, embrace the Word of God, and God is the God who restores. There was a man who said, Lord, I will never deny you. Jesus says, you. Let me tell you something. Before the crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. He says, but when you get restored now, I want you to strengthen your brethren. I know you're going to blow it. I've already prayed for you. I've prayed for you. Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you? Praying for me? Knowing it? Oh, Michael. You know, you don't go there. You know you're going to mess that up. Don't go there. But Michael goes there. Oops. I prayed for you already. Get back online. Who will pick a Peter to be the first voice to speak on the day of Pentecost? And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, says, go tell the disciples, I'm back. And tell Peter. Ah. Now, if you don't meditate on the Word of God, you think the last time you blew it, that was it. Or you'll find out from the Word of God that God is yet faithful, even when I'm not, and that he is a restorer. He doesn't call me to practice sin. The Word of God says, the one that is born of God does not make a practice of sinning. In fact, he cannot sin. So I take on that word. I hold on to that word. I continue with that word, and I become one with that word. If we're going to partner with God, we've got to take the Word of God seriously. He says, whatsoever I do it shall prosper. He says, but that's not the case with the ungodly. You know, they're blown away like chaff, which is driven away by the wind. In Jeremiah 17, and verse 7, the Word of God says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Man who trusts in God says that man is blessed. He says, and whose hope the Lord is. And whose hope
the Lord is.
What is this man like? Verse 8 says, for he shall be as a tree planted. This man whose trust is in the Lord, he's going to be as a tree that's planted by waters and that spreadeth her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. What does that mean? It means he is very unconcerned about all the natural stuff happening around that would dry everybody else out and cause their leaves to fall. He says he doesn't care about that. He's planted and he has water consistently nourishing, moisturizing his system. He says, but her leaf shall be green. Huh? Her leaf shall be green. And shall not be careful. And shall not be what? Careful. In the year of drought. Why? It's planted by the river. Question is, where you planted? You see, the river is the word of God. If you are in a place where the word of God is not present, strong, I didn't say that they didn't read the scriptures, because you can read the scriptures and it means nothing. It's not the letters that make the word of God powerful. It's the spirit. Jesus, our Lord, said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when we talk about the word of God, we're talking about the word of God released, spoken. Oh, my Lord, help me. It is not, are you listening? It is not, I read the words today that matters. It is, I spoke the words of God that matters. It's not just reading it. You can read anything. Read 20 pages. Read 30 pages. All you got is facts. But the word, when you read the word, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And you begin to meditate on it. God of the universe, the God who created everything, God everywhere present, God still present in my past. Present here now. Present tomorrow before I get there. Think about that. That God is still present in your past. Oh, shakala motosikaya. If God is still present in my past, he can fix my past. Oh, I don't know if you hear what I'm saying to you. If God is everywhere present, there is not a time that God cannot fix a thing. He can fix whatever needs to be fixed at any time, in any place, no matter what the situation. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I got raped 20 years ago. What can God do about that? God, when you cry out today to Him, He can. He's still there 20 years ago and says, now, daughter, it's fixed. And you wake up in the now. Oh, I got delivered. It's like it never happened. Yes, because God is still in the past. God is in the present. God is in the future. You see, for me, time, I cannot touch the same time twice. It's like a river. If you dip your hand at this point in the water, you cannot touch it again. It's constantly flowing, but God is the whole river. Ah, Bakoshingele Matikaya. So there is not a thing in your life, in my life, that is not fixable. Why? Because I'm meditating on His word and I'm thinking, God, 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 God. I'm thinking, God. And while I'm thinking, God, God starts unveiling Himself and saying, you thinking about me, son? Yes, I'm thinking about you. Oh, I want to know you. I want to know you. And God starts revealing Himself, unpacking Himself, so that you can see another aspect based on what you need in your life. The way God unveils Himself to me may be totally different from the way He unveils Himself to you. That's why we do not neglect the assembling together. Because when we come together, we see the unveilings of God. My experiences in God are different from yours, but it's the same God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, how God wants me to partner with Him is anchored in this particular truth. Become careful. You're not careful about the year of drought. Neither shall cease. Oh my God. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What does that mean? It means that as soon as you start yielding fruit, that your season of fruitfulness has begun and it will never stop. Oh my God. Oh, yikes. You mean I'll always be fruitful? Yes. There's no stopping it now. You've gone through the difficult time of just having just leaves and just flowering. But now that you start bearing fruit, it's just going to keep on popping. Glory be to God. You know what that means? That's God saying, no picking. You heard me say that many times. There you go. No picking. And so that we get it even clearly, it goes on. Listen to what the Word of God says. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the only one who can know it is God. He's saying, basically, what I'm talking to you about is this. Don't let your heart be in neutral. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I'm just a good person. I'm a good person. So things are going to go well for me. No. You don't put the Word of God in there, your desperately wicked heart will fill itself with something. That's not what you want. The Lord searches the heart. Tries the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. In verse 11. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right. And when he's talking about riches here, he's talking about prosperity and not by right. You're getting stuff and not by right. Shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Why is he a fool? Because the Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. When you do not fill yourself with what God equates to himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You don't fill yourself with that, then the end of it is that you are going to be saying, there is no God, there is no Word, and whatever else, and the rest of the story is just doomsday. Well, what happens? Let me, so much to share, and maybe I'll go to this particular passage of Scripture, and then I'm going to end there for tonight. And if the Lord wills for me to continue, I'll continue on this subject next time. But this particular passage is of utmost importance. Psalm 92. In Jeremiah, Psalm 92, verse 9. In Jeremiah 17, we read about being fruitful for all seasons. I'm starting at an odd place here, and I'm going to lead to the core of what needs to be said. He says, for lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. And in God's mind, these are people who are not embracing the word of God. But this is what is true for those who are partners with God. He says, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Now, a unicorn is an animal, a horse with a single horn. At least that's how it is typically shown to us. But the idea of a unicorn here is that this is a rare creature. God, you're going to exalt me as a unique piece. That people will look at and say, oh, we've never seen anything like this. Hallelujah. He says, that's how you're going to exalt me, because I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Someone say, Lord, anoint me with a fresh oil that comes forth out of your word. You say, that's an interesting comment. Well, do you know that God said he wanted his people to just open their mouths? so that he will fill them. And he concludes in that psalm and says, if they had only just listened to him, he would have brought out oil out of the rock, not just water. That's fresh oil. But the key was opening our mouths to do what? Say what God is saying. And if the church of Jesus Christ is going to come to that place to see the fulfillment of that, then they have to come to that place and begin to do what God says in Psalm 81. In fact, why don't we go? Oh, thank you so very much. Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. 11. But my people will not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. 12. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, desperately wicked hearts. And they walked in their own counsels, not the word of God. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey. Out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. With honey, out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. God had a greater agenda. In Job, Job says, when butter and oil was coming out of the rock for me, there were days like that for me, Job says. Hallelujah. Back to Psalm 92, verse 11. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. 12. The righteous, watch this now. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that be planted where? In the house of the Lord. Oh, where is the river? The river is in the house of the Lord. The river is in the temple of the Lord. The river is where the Lord is enthroned, because the river flows from the presence of the Lord. So what do you think the devil wants to do? He wants to make sure that you're not in the house. And the agenda of the enemy, you think lockdowns are just lockdowns for lockdown's sake? No, the lockdowns are to make sure that you are not in the house of the Lord. But watch this. Are you ready for this? Those who are assembled to God, it does not matter. They can lock us there, lock us there, lock us. But as long as our hearts are focused on the word of God, we are in the same place in agreement with God. Praise the Lord. So it doesn't matter what the enemy is trying to do. The church of God is getting stronger and stronger. Amen? Praise the Lord. Those, you know, the people who come inside church and they are not in church. You just came just to see some friends. They didn't come to see the Lord. They didn't come to give of themselves and connect with each other. No, we're not talking about those people. Whether they are in their house or in their homes, they are still disconnected. They were disconnected while they were inside the church. Those that are connected inside the church, when they are outside the church, they are still connected. Hallelujah. I have sons and daughters who may not physically be in this church, but every service, hallelujah, they are there. And if they miss a service, they are going to go and find that service and participate and bring themselves in. But there are those that didn't go to church today. They don't give. Because that's part of how you get connected. You're giving. Now, I'll talk about this some other time. The Lord helps me get there. But your assembling is you bringing the word of God that is invested in you all the week long. You bringing it and you participating and sharing. So the word of God says, when you come together, let one bring a psalm, let one bring a word, let one bring a prophetic word, let one this and let, because we are all participating, synchronized together, harmonizing in the spirit of the truth of God. And that's where we are, partnering together with God and with each other. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Oh, I like the next one. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Even when they're old and all their teeth fall out and they're gumming it in life, they're still fruitful. They may be curved, but they're still fruitful. Don't mess around with an anointed man of God, no matter what old age he is in. Hallelujah. I think about my spiritual father. I think he was more dangerous in his old age than when he was younger. He might not be, you know, preaching for 20 minutes. Sometimes he might just preach for 5-10 minutes. And sometimes he just stands there and he just raises his hands like this. Only one who does not know what's going on doesn't recognize the impartation that was happening. Oh, I wish he would have preached for a longer time. No, the man is being fruitful in his old age. Was it not Moses whose hands were up and Joshua was winning in the battle over down there? Did he carry a sword to do anything? Sometimes it's not too much talking. Sometimes it's just being present with the authority of the Word of God. But we start out by muttering the Word, saying it. Saying it, saying it. And as we're saying it, we are being changed into the same image of what we are saying. Even in your old age, they shall be fat and flourishing. They shall be fat. That's a nice King James way of saying prosperous. Hallelujah. You wear it. Blessed be the name of the living God. Praise the Lord. And verse 15 says, I love it. Why are they flourishing and all of that? To show forth, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And water is coming out of him. He is my rock. And honey is coming out of him. Hallelujah. The word of God says, eat honey and be wise. So you're eating out of that which is coming out of God, and you're growing in wisdom. And there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll stop there tonight. And we'll continue in the next few days.
a very dear son is going to be speaking to us tomorrow night. And I'm filled with great expectancy on what God is going to release to us through this chosen vessel. But before we leave tonight, I want us to spend some time praying. Would you rise with me? The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Today we're going to ask for God to help us get hungry for His word. Because until you're hungry, you really don't want to eat. We're going to ask God to generate an intense appetite in us that drives us to go for the Word of God. To not just stare at the Word of God, but to begin to meditate on that Word. And as we said earlier, it is not just reading the Word. It is pronouncing and declaring that Word. Praise the Lord. You need to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, not by reading. If it came by reading, the Word of God would have said, faith comes by reading. Well, it didn't say that. It says it comes by hearing. And when we talk about meditating, we're talking about muttering, speaking under your breath. You're saying the Word of God. And it generates a force field of faith. So that your believing becomes normal. If you, listen to this, if you are trying to make yourself believe, you don't have faith. When you're moving in faith, you don't think about it. It's just normal. Like, I'm not thinking, is this chair going to hold me up? Just normal. I just walk down, just sit down. When you're moving in faith, it's just like breathing in and breathing out, just normal. You've blinked so many times already since you stood. Did you think about blinking when you blinked? No, when you're filled with faith, it's just normal. You don't think it. Oh, I'm going to go do this. Oh Lord, I need faith to go do that. You're not ready. Because when you were ready, you wouldn't have to think about, I'm going to do this so I can. No, it's just normal. So we are going to pray, God, create a deep hunger and an appetite for your word so that I come to that place where believing is not my issue. I know that I know. Because you've got to go beyond believing to knowing. I want to come to that place of knowing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because in the place of knowing, there's no fear. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I'm trying to believe for it, I don't have it yet. Because when I have it, I don't bother. If you've got $200 in your pocket right now, and I come and say, may I have $50? Yeah. It's just easy. It's easy because love is going to determine whether you're going to give it at that point. Love determines it. And faith worketh by love. In essence, it's already there. Love is the action that manifests it. Praise God. So let us pray that prayer. God, do this so that we can get that. I need to get to that place where living the life of faith is just normal. Like me blinking my eyes. Praise God. Pray. Talk to the Lord. Kato shimbanda nikata lebakoi. Reke siala daraba shante kelema. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to walk in a dimension of supernatural favor and authority. Because, oh God, our hunger and appetite for your word is so deeply embedded in me and embedded in your body. Lord, oh God, that we, oh God, move and flow, oh God, in the unction and graces of your Holy Spirit, unhindered, unrestrained. Because your word is alive, shattering limitations. Lord, oh God, bringing us, oh God, to that place, oh God, that we act, oh God, on the basis of loving kindness. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the integrity of your word, for the power of your word, for the saving workings of grace. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. The Word of God says that when we meditate on the Word of God, that we make our way prosperous and we'll make ourselves experience good success. Let us declare right now that we are prosperous and a people walking in good success. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we are moving, O God, in the grace and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, walking, O God, in divine prosperity as we proclaim your prophetic declarations, the prophetic declarations of your word that are filling us through and through. Lord, O God, our pathway is made successful. Everything around us is success, success. Lord, we know it, and people around us are declaring our good success. This declaring, oh God, in agreement with us that we are the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. The Word of God says to us, I'm not getting any help from the back there. For the screens this evening. Type this stuff so that people see what we're praying about. The Word of God says that when we come to that place where we are fruitful, we'll continue to be fruitful. Amen? Hallelujah. So fruitful that even in our old age, we are still fruitful. Praise God. We're going to declare that God brings us, moves us speedily to that place of fruitfulness so that we continue to produce godly fruit. Amen? Fruitfulness in every area. Fruitfulness born out of love. The Word of God says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then lists eight other mindsets that are related to that, you know, long-suffering, patience, and meekness, and all of that, all of those good stuff, they come out of that fruitfulness. Well, fruitfulness covers a whole lot of stuff. So we're going to declare that God moves us speedily to that place of fruitfulness where we are consistently, henceforth, fruitful in every area of our lives. We produce godly fruit. Praise the Lord. pray. Talk to the Lord about that. As his partners, we thank you, Father God, that as your partners, we have been moved supernaturally, oh God. And Lord, oh God, that we are imitators of you as we are producing fruit, displaying the splendor and the glory of your glory. Lord, oh God, showing forth the splendor and authority of your word. Because, Lord, oh God, the fruit of God is being born by us. Your word says, oh God, that when we walk in love and we abide in you, we get to bear fruit. Thank you, Father, oh God, for the ability to bear fruit. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to bear fruit. Lord, oh God, your word says, oh God, that we didn't choose you, but you chose us and you ordained us. And the purpose of that choosing and ordination is that we be fruitful and that our fruit abides. We thank you, Lord, oh God, for abiding fruit. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, that because of this abiding fruit, we have a relationship with you where we can ask what we will. And Lord, your word says, oh God, that you will do it. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that this grace is sufficient and our lives are greatly impacted because of your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. One more thing we're going to pray about tonight. The word of God says that the man who is meditating on the word of God is planted by the rivers of water. The one whose heart is beating after God is planted by the river. Those that are walking in love with God, they are planted in the house of God. We're going to ask God to help us be people who are steadfast in faith, committed, driven. I don't know who it is, but the Lord, I just heard the Lord say there are people that are going to move from wherever it is, different cities, and they are going to purposely come to this city just because they want to be in this house. I declare that to be so now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, oh God, I thank you, Lord, oh God, for people right now that are moving. You are moving them by your spirit. Lord, oh God, it's not because of economic gain or anything else, but their one passion is that they have to be in the house of the Lord, in the place that you have chosen to water them and establish them. Father, I invite them, I call them by the leading of your Holy Spirit to come now from the nations of the world. Let them come now. I declare, oh God, right now that whatever they need to be able to fulfill this passion, this drive, this calling that they are feeling right now, a lot of God, governmental papers, whatever it is that they need, Lord, oh God, let it be released unto them. And I thank you, Lord, oh God, that as they come, they will be planted, they will be rooted, they will be grounded, and they will be used mightily, oh God, to be part of the partnership to fulfill the mandate of this last of the last days. We give you praise that it is done in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad that I've been privileged once again to share the word of God with us, and that the Lord God who has led us to this time will bring to fullness all that he has already mentioned. Amen. The Lord has spoken much to us about the things that are about to happen and are already happening. There are so many things that are happening already since the prophetic words came forth on the 31st. The harvesting is taking place already. There are major names that are just dropping off, and what I'm about to say right now can easily be misunderstood, but I don't want you please to misunderstand it. I don't say it with a wrong mindset, but the Bible says that Israel could not possess Canaan because the sin of the Canaanites had not come to fullness. Well, there's a fullness that we've come to that is generating what God, who's been very patient and laid back on certain things, is acting up on. And while we were here declaring the word of the Lord the other day, a guy, that's why I said, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. He had a program called Full House. Remember that? Okay. And just like that, just passed away. A young man. And I was thinking about that. And the Lord was saying to me, he said, it's a full house. It's time for judgment. Now, I'm not saying that God judged him, but I'm saying that God is moving and saying, it's a full house. And I'm doing something. And since then, I've been getting information of different key people that are just going, just like that. Just gone. Overnight, just gone. Unexpected. You're going to see a lot of that in 2022. Don't get distracted. Stay focused. And I tell you, I don't want to mention names, but there are certain individuals that are very big names, even in Christendom today, that are going to pass. Don't get shaken. Just stay focused. Just stay focused. Because the mantle will not die. The mantle will not die. God is just doing things. Some things that some people that God is going to harvest is because of God's mercy. This person is about to mess up. I better pick him up and get him out. He served me so well for such a long time. I'm taking him out now. Celebrate them. Amen. Some people are just rotten and they're causing problems for too many people, and God says, get out of here. But whatever it is, God is going to show himself strong. He's seated on his throne, and everybody's going to shut up. Everybody's going to be silent before him. We're going to draw on his mercy. Amen? I'm crying out for his mercy. Because without him, I cannot be. Amen? So this last prayer is this. God, heal our land. Heal your church. Do what you need to do and cause your body to be stronger than ever before, well able to serve your purposes, to bring forth the manifestation of your kingdom. Now, pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for kingdom business. Lord, oh God, for your kingdom business, do what you need to do to bring us to the place where we need to be. Heal our land and do what you need to do, Father. Help us be focused and help us, oh God, to be a disciplined, faithful, incredible army that marches under the lordship of your graces and accomplishes great things, because the people that know their God are strong, they're mighty, and they do great exploits. Help us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins and cleansing from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Just do what we need to do. Faithfully release that which God has placed in our hands. And believe God to multiply our seed sown. He's that kind of a God. He wants to multiply our seed sown. And at this time, let's just honor him. Mama extends her greetings and her love. And she will be with us when she's ready to be with us. And but for right now, she just needs to recuperate. And she's praying for us and watching every gathering. She's assembling with us, even though she's not here physically. Praise the Lord. Take your elements of communion. Does anyone need elements of communion? Just raise your hand and you will be served. Okay, it looks like everybody's gotten what they need. All right. This is the body of the Lord. And as you've heard me say many times before, he didn't say, this is like. He said, this is my. And so when we take of this, we're taking of his body. And when we take of the cup, we're taking of his blood. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ play a very important role. They destroy the presence or the rights of the spirit of destruction to come our way. Hallelujah. And Jesus being our first fruit, the spotless Lamb of God, it is like his blood is being sprinkled on the lintel and post of our lives. That is our mind, how we think, how we see life, and how we hear, and how we speak and pronounce the blessing. May the full impact of this table of blessing be experienced by every one of us henceforth, in Jesus' mighty name. Take and eat. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Let everything in my past, present, and future be addressed now by the precious blood. And with the redemptive work of grace, let the abiding blessings of God be bestowed upon all of our lives as we take off this cup. In Jesus' name, take and drink. Praise God. Just raise your hands with me. Father, thank you for your manifold blessings. Lord, O God, fill us to the overflow until we are baptized with the blessings that come forth from you into our lives, so that we, O God, are vessels of honor to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, we call it so done. Amen. Bless you. Love you. Thank God for every one of you. Good night. Those of you on Facebook, YouTube, look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Our minister tomorrow is going to be a mighty blessing to you. We'll look forward to having you participate with us tomorrow evening at 6:30. Good night.